The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yes, Aisling Larkin is back with me, the TV chef and the mindful eating coach. What are we talking about this week, Aisling?
We're talking about food trends in 2025. Now, we normally hit on this in January, as you would, kind of forecasting and predicting the trends. But the year's escaped me a little bit, Kieran, if I'm honest, so we're going to do it now.
All right, okay. Well, listen, honesty is the best policy. We forgot to do it in January.
I didn't.
So we're doing it now.
No, you know what?
I couldn't think of anything else to do this week, so we're talking about food trends.
That is not true. No, not at all. It's amazing how it does take a couple of months to see where the trends are going. So there's some that are like big, and then there's others that are still plugging away.
So when we talk about food trends, are these like social media trends? Is this Instagram and TikTok and elsewhere? Is this trends within the industry? Or
it's a combination of everything. So like when I do consultancy work, that's what I need to do. I need to look at the trends. You need to help when you're designing menus, recipes, all of that stuff. But also, I mean, what controls all of that is social media.
Yeah.
It's what is driving, particularly TikTok. And again, it comes from that place of being either very visual or very kind of high intensity, high impact, because it's reaction. That's what it is. It's clickbait, essentially. But there's a little bit of merit in some of it. So I've tweaked a little bit to kind of allow us to understand where we're going. So we've got a full suite of food today.
Great.
Everything from breakfast to chickles to sandwiches.
Chickle. I don't know what chickles are. We'll get to chickles.
Be worried, my friend.
Where are we going to start then?
Breakfast.
All right, okay.
My favourite place.
Right.
We're going to start with, I'm going to give you this one first. I'm starting with my classic overnight oats.
Yeah.
Because I love overnight oats. But we're hitting them up with the Dubai trend that is just...
Oh, this pistachio chocolate from Dubai.
I think everyone's done with it at this stage. But it is, God, it's hanging on. It's like one of the biggest trends. They said now that the shortages of pistachios, pistachio nuts were always really expensive as it was. Like it?
Yeah, I do like that actually.
Thanks very much.
Jeez, I don't know if I'd eat that every morning now.
This is it, right?
Yeah, like I mean, that's a very sweet treat.
It's like a dessert for breakfast, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's the trend. So the trend essentially is dessert-inspired breakfast, and they've become absolutely huge. So my recommendation is 2-2-1, savoury, savoury, sweet, if you're going to do it right. But I want to tell you a little bit about, I suppose, why it has taken off and why it is absolutely massive. There's psychology of indulgence, and they're called permissible treats or permissible indulgence, which is where it's an indulgence that brings a lot of pleasure, but it's also functional, and then it decreases the amount of guilt you experience by having it.
Oh, right, okay.
So the idea is, I suppose, that you've got your oats in there, you've got your slow release of energy, you've got your live natural yogurt, you've got your chia seeds, you know, so you know you're doing all the good things. But then all of a sudden it's delicious because you've got something really nice in there. So we've got chocolate and we've got a pistachio nut butter. Now, I'm going to tell you a couple of things about them, right? Nutella is our classic chocolate spread.
Yes.
Right? So I've brought you both because I've actually brought another one to show you. But just to give you, and this is where the permissible indulgence, you do have to think about it and why you wouldn't eat it every day. Teaspoon of Nutella is 80 calories and it is 8.4 grams of sugar. Okay.
A teaspoon has
15 grams actually, so it's a tablespoon.
Sorry.
Yeah.
A tablespoon still though, that's a lot of sugar.
It is. It is, it is. Now there is an alternative, which is Kelkin hazelnut chocolate spread, which has 1.6 grams of sugar.
Okay.
And it has 100 calories. So
that's, sugar.
That's for 20 grams. But it has, but the thing is, that has a sweetener in it. That's just sugar. That has a sweetener.
All right,
it depends where you sit with all of that stuff. But I think it's really interesting to know that there are alternatives out there. The pistachio spread, again, there's varying degrees of what's lovely and what's not. That's the lovely Irish company that we talk about a lot. And it's really, really high quality. It's about €9 for a jar of it.
Yeah.
But it's cracking stuff. Like it's absolutely
that is
beautiful.
Delicious now, but...
Would you have it every day?
No, I wouldn't.
Well, here, number two breakfast is heading your way.
Okay.
And this one is even more of a permissible indulgence.
Right.
This one has stemmed very... So this is cheesecake for breakfast, essentially.
Ah, come on. You can't have cheesecake for breakfast.
I know. But immediately when you talk about cheesecake, your brain goes to dessert. What do you think?
Oh, that's lovely.
Haha, isn't it?
Well, I love cheesecake.
Do you?
Yeah, but as a dessert.
I know. Well, I'm going to tell you, right, a little bit about this one. If you take people who are very intensively eating well, right, maybe it's for, you know, it's intense kind of training, bodybuilding, it's weight loss, whatever it is. When you're on those diets, they're very prescriptive, they're very strict. And all of a sudden, you know, this is where we hear that culture of like diet culture and cheat days. So this kind of in my world, I think the psychology would fit into that cheat day kind of breakfast, right? But again, it's functional and nutrient dense. The base is made from Weetabix that have been soaked in a little bit of milk with a tiny little bit of honey. Then, so it's not biscuits and butter like a regular cheesecake would be.
Yeah.
The top creamy layer is live natural yogurt with a little bit of Biscoff. So if you heat the Biscoff, it kind of melts, it forms through. And then sitting on top is some raspberries. There's a little bit of caramel sauce to make it really desserty on top. And there's also, I do this lovely kind of crunchy honey nut crunch peanut, like powder almost, that goes on top.
Yeah, it's delicious. But I mean, that's not a breakfast. I'm sorry. Like, people are just codding themselves. They're just, you may as well eat a bowl of ice cream. Just open the freezer and take out a bowl of ice cream and cod yourself that you're eating
breakfast. Live natural yogurt.
That's a dessert.
High in protein. You can put protein powder into the base. You've got your fiber. Listen, I get it. You know, like I said, I don't believe you do it every day of the week, but I see the merit in them. Mm. Or better yet, don't have regular cheesecake and have that instead. Karen's like, nah.
Yeah, well, maybe you could have that instead, but after your dinner.
Yes,
okay. Where dessert is meant
to
go.
All right,
I'm not having that
all
trend.
All right, dinosaur, all right.
All right, go on.
Next trend.
What is the next trend?
The dinosaur trend.
Oh, what is this?
Now, I'm not sure if I love the name on this, but I love the philosophy behind
it. It's like a kid's thing, is it?
No, it's not. And it sounds like that because of the name. What do dinosaurs do besides stomping around, or what used to do? They eat lots of leafy greens.
Well, the herbivores did. Go on.
Not to be pedantic.
Yeah, exactly.
That,
yeah.
All right. I'm passing over. Now, two trends in one bowl here.
Oh, right.
For
okay.
For
so
a second,
this is the
right?
dinosaur trend.
The dinosaur trend is that we would eat a bowl of beautiful leafy greens before our meal. Now, I'm going to get you to pause for 1 second. Yeah. Why are you looking at me like that?
Well, I didn't. No, sorry. Okay.
It looks pretty bleak at the moment, okay?
Well, yeah, it just...
Well, hang on. We're going to get there.
Uneventful, it looks.
Well, but this is what it's meant to be. It's meant to be leafy greens, right? Okay, here, I'm going to cheer you up.
Okay.
This is my salad dressing. So the idea is you're eating a bowl of leafy greens before your meal. The Italians do it. The French do it. They do it really well. The Japanese do it. The idea being that it's nutrient dense. It fills you up. Fiber, slow release of energy. And it helps with digestion, okay? And it's been going on in France for like a gazillion years. But you have to make it nice. So here's a beautiful...
Just because the French do something doesn't mean we should, you know?
Honey, well, they are culinary leaders. They wear...
There, you know.
God, they'll poop it down, to be fair, to the Mediterranean countries do. Honey mustard dressing. That dressing is just... You need a bit more dressing.
All right, okay.
Just whack on the dressing there now. And then we'll get to the bit that's on the side. So, 4 parts oil, 1 part honey, 1 part mustard, and then a pinch of vinegar. So either apple cider vinegar, or isn't that lovely?
Lovely dressing.
Yeah, really, really nice. It's my absolute favourite, honey mustard. It's just such a win. So you've got your mustard, you've got your honey, you've got your seasoning in there, and then you've got your little bit of vinegar and whatever oil base you want. But it's really, really lovely.
What am I about to eat here now, though?
You're about to eat your...
It's a pickle, is it?
Your chickle.
Oh, so this is a chickle. What's
so
a chickle?
This is a chickle. I had never heard of a chickle until now. I have also never tried a chickle. So I brought the chickles on a plate and I put the chickle in the salad. Because I actually think it'll really work and brighten up that boring old salad that you had there.
So what is a chickle?
A chickle is a dill pickle.
Yeah.
That has grated Parmesan cheese on top and it's been baked in the oven. I know, yeah.
Just put cheese on everything.
So the idea is that it's this absolute burst of umami.
So if you cook these and you've never had one, have one there.
I know, yeah, I'm going to try one because I haven't tried one yet.
Mm.
Like, I love pickles. I love dill pickles. I love dill pickle gherkins.
What do you think of that?
I love them on their own. But I think in a salad, I get where they...
Well, I have it here with the dressing on it. It's lovely. It certainly...
It's much nicer with the dressing.
...spices up the bowl of lettuce you gave me.
Eat a bowl of greens before your main course. You know what I think? Out of the oven, I think they'll be really gorgeous. These ones are obviously a little bit cold. But I think out of the oven is lovely. All right. I'm going to spice up your salad a little bit more.
Okay.
I'm going to move on to the next trend, which is grapes. Grapes are having a moment.
Oh, are they?
Mm.
Okay.
So, a lot of times we go to the supermarket, we're seeing generic... This is delicious now. Generic old grapes, right? You know, they're not really that purpley. They're not really... They lack a bit of colour. They're seedless, blah, blah, blah. So I'm saying we kind of take a step back to those more artisanal, organic, rustic kind of... You know, do you remember, like, go to France on holidays, like when you were a kid, and the grapes were grapes. Proper grapes. Those kind of grapes. So they're the kind of grapes I've brought in. Sable, S-A-B-L-E. I think it's either Aldi or Lidl sell them. Beautiful. Loads more flavour than a regular old mixed pack of, you know, seedless grapes. So look out for those kind of grapes. Marks and Spencer's do a cotton candy flavour grape. Have you had those?
No.
they're really interesting. They taste kind of like cotton candy.
Interesting is the word.
Yes.
I'll take your word for it.
But what I've done to make grapes significantly more interesting.
You've added cheese. See, Ashley, that's what you've done. Just,
I know
you've added
you.
Cheese.
But before I added the cheese, which is a beautiful gorgonzola. So what you have in front of you is a cracker, creamy, room temperature, beautiful gorgonzola. And grapes that have been roasted. This is my little thing. I've been roasting grapes for about a year now. I've been doing it at a lot of little events, different things. Roast grapes are fabulous. Somebody outside before I came in asked me, well, is it not just a prune? To which we said, no, it's not. And it's not even a raisin because prunes are not made from grapes. Raisins would obviously...
Raisins are made from grapes, though, aren't they?
Yeah, really, really dried. But this is roast. So it's not dehydrated. It's not dried. It's not even rehydrated. Basically, take your grapes, take them off the stalk, put them on a roasting tray, tiny little bit of oil on them, put them in an oven at about 180, 190 for about 15 minutes. Oh my God, they're just beautiful.
Mm.
They're so sweet. They're so juicy. It's that sweetness then that pairs with that creamy, salty blue cheese, and it's just, I mean, it's absolutely
the texture
delicious.
Of them goes really well with the
doesn't
cheese,
it?
Doesn't it? Yeah.
Because they're a little bit kind of squishy, juicy, roasted, and then it's the creaminess of the cheese. But what I love to do is, like, I'll make up a little batch, store them in a little lunchbox in the fridge, toss them into your salads during the week. They add that lovely little peak of brightness to a salad. And, like, the Americans do this style of salad.
They'd add something to that bowl of lettuce anyway.
They absolutely would, Kieran, wouldn't
they?
Yeah,
they would.
So there you go.
Bit of advice.
Pop them in. I do love the culinary advice for you, and I appreciate it every week as well.
Yeah.
I think it's a real winner. I really, really, really like them. So yeah, crackers, roast grapes, pop them in a salad. Sorry, I was saying the Americans love this style of salad, which is kind of cranberries, a kind of a, like a creamy cheese, like a Wensleydale or a feta, and always a nut, like a pecan nut or something like that.
Yeah.
So, like, use this concept, the bit of blue, the roast grape, a little bit of red onion, salad leaves, boom, you're done.
That's lovely. I ate all four crackers there.
There you go. Delicious.
Delicious.
Last part of your lunch that we're going to talk about, which is a big foodie trend, which has been chopped salad. But an Italian chopped salad sandwich.
Okay.
So. Let's step it back.
Okay.
The Italian part.
Yeah.
We are going for roast red peppers. We're going for buffalo mozzarella cheese. And we're going for salami.
That's lovely.
Thank you. It's really good, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just it's what
salami.
A sandwich should be.
Lovely cheese, tomato, pesto.
Yeah. So the idea with the chopped, and obviously we've seen like the restaurant chain Chopped pop up. So this started way back like early 2000s, again in the States, and it's taken like this long to kind of transcend. But again, TikTok really kicked it off. The concept being that when you're making a salad or you're making the filling for a sandwich, you chop everything up into minute, really, really small pieces. You coat everything in the mayonnaise or the dressing, and then you pack it into a sandwich. The purpose of all of that is that you get even little bits, you know, so every time you take a bite, you get exactly a piece of everything in every little bite. So that's what we did. We chopped up everything. But I'm going to step you through each little layer of this sandwich because I do genuinely think it is just such a cracking sandwich. It's that real kind of luxury, casual kind of style of food. So we start with an Italian ciabatta, the best you can get. I didn't have the best I could get. I had average, but we'll take average for today. I would highly recommend, you know, those proper like outside crusty bits, the ciabatta, like proper delicious air holes in the middle. Gorgeous. Then I made a layer of basil pesto, roast garlic aioli, salami. So I bought a salami, two different types of salami. So I grilled one to make it really crispy.
Yeah.
Then I chopped up the other one.
Okay.
Jar of roast red peppers. Top tip with your roast red peppers, always drain them, rinse them, because they come in this kind of vinegary stuff and people always eat them and go, oh, geez, I don't like them. Just rinse them. You just didn't rinse them. That was the only problem. A little bit of red onion and then the buffalo mozzarella. And like if you can make it, it's real kind of picnic food. If you can make it a couple of hours in advance, like make it that morning and just allow all of those flavors to melt through the bread. They're just absolutely delicious. So you've got the fatty, you've got the rich, you've got the acid. And another top tip that people always forget is like season a sandwich. So season a salad, season a sandwich. Just don't forget to put a little bit of salt and pepper on it because it just makes everything ping.
Would you, that's delicious. Would you approach all sandwiches now with the chopped philosophy? Or are there certain things you actually like?
No,
fully
I wouldn't.
Intact in
Yeah, caprese. Like, you know where you're doing your rocket, your big round slices of mozzarella, your big round slices of tomato. I would not chop that. I think the beauty of that is those big chunky kind of components. But for something like this, it does work. I mean, I do like it. And I love the salami. Salami is not a meat we tend to use in a sandwich a lot here, but crispy salami. Oh my God, delicious.
No, it's so good. So evidenced by the fact that it's almost all gone.
There was one other trend that I wanted to talk to you about.
All right.
Was matcha.
That's the tea.
Yeah. Have you had a matcha yet?
No, I just find that any tea that's not normal tea basically is a version of grass or something off a, you know, okay, a branch or twigs or something like that.
All right. You know what? I might not bother. Don't bother with the matcha. I'd say, do you drink coffee?
Yeah.
Are you like coffee aficionado? Like, do you know your coffee?
I like nice coffee, but okay, I'm not a coffee snob. Okay. I drink instant coffee.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Maybe try a matcha. So matcha, again, Japanese, it's, you know what, it's a trend that's kind of been hanging around for a couple of years and it's never really taken off. And I'm going to say maybe never took off because we don't love it, Western, like, and that's a big statement now probably, but it's like green tea. And if you like green tea, you'll like a matcha. If you kind of struggle with green tea, I don't think you'll love it. It's a bit more dimensional than green tea. But with a matcha latte, it's kind of nice. The milk kind of softens it up a little bit. Yeah. Maybe as your next trend to try that.
You lost me at green tea. You absolutely lost me at green tea. I know a friend of mine sent me, you know, one of these, like one of these affirmations on Instagram that gets shared around about improving your life. But it was like a Waterford Whispers version. It wasn't them, but it was like a picture of green tea. And it just said, replace your morning coffee with green tea and your life will be 80% more miserable. And I said, exactly.
All right.
Green tea is rubbish.
Well, stick to roast grapes and delicious Italian chop sandwiches.
And coffee.
You'll be all good. And
yes.
Coffee.
Aisling, thank you very much. Aisling Larkin, we will get all of this up online as we do the podcast as quick as we can. And then if you look for Aisling Larkin on social media, you will find her there. You'll find all this detail and keep up to date with the latest trends as well. Aisling, we'll talk to you at the same time next week.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.